All right, thank you very much for the opportunity to present today. I'm presenting on the relationship between weight loss behaviors and cigarette use among college females. I also want to recognize my mentor and chair, Dr. Tracy Barnett, who is not here today. And so, of course, the following personal financial relationships with commercial interests relevant to this presentation existed during the past 12 months. I have no relationships to disclose. In addition, I also want to acknowledge that data for this project were provided by the American College Health Association, specifically the National College Health Assessment 2. So looking at past research, and as a lot of the research has already said throughout this session, it's indicated that women associate cigarette use with weight control, and in particular, there's oftentimes fear of weight gain following smoking cessation. In addition to this, some of our previous research with adolescents have found that there may be an issue with initiation of smoking in adolescent females because of body image. However, this relationship has not been found as strongly with males in the adolescent population. And when we move this to the college population, there's also evidence to suggest that college years can be an at-risk time for cigarette use among college females, for the reason that many females during their transition from their last years of high school into their first years of college often report body dissatisfaction. And so because of this, combining the documented issues of weight control and body dissatisfaction in cigarette use, and these particular issues that might be associated with body dissatisfaction during the early years for college females, this might be a particularly risky time for college females to engage in cigarette use. And this actually, we've had previous presentations that were looking at outcome expectations of cigarette smoking as well. And the previous work by Brandon and Baker, looking at outcome expectancies of cigarette use among college populations, found that after using factor analysis to establish some common themes for people that were looking at or trying to understand what were the common expectations of cigarette use, they came up with four different factors that were that hung together. And those were negative consequences, so anything that we think of as far as smelling bad or having negative health effects that might be directly related to cigarette smoking. Positive reinforcement, which would be the idea of smoking to increase positive affects to make positive feelings, the good feelings that you associate with cigarette smoking. Negative reinforcement, which would be to eliminate withdrawal symptoms or eliminate negative affects. And then appetite and weight control, which of course is what we've been talking about today. In particular, Brandon Baker reported that women had higher scores on subjective expected utility for cigarette use in the negative reinforcement, specifically negative affect reduction, and appetite weight control factors. So putting all this together, this indicates that college females may be at greater risk for using cigarettes as a means to control weight as well as handling negative emotions and affects. So therefore, the purpose of this study was to examine if cigarette smoking among college females is associated with negative body image and weight loss behaviors. So the survey that we were looking at, we conducted a secondary data analysis of fall 2008 National College Health Assessment 2 data. The NCHA 2, it's a college survey that's distributed to colleges across the United States that choose to participate. So while selection of the colleges is, nationally is not random, in order for the colleges to participate in the study, students within the college either need to be selected at random or the administrators must attempt to select all the students in the university. So while this represents potential issues of generalizability, the NCHA 2 actually has been analyzed and found to yield similar results to other large national studies and surveys that have demonstrated generalizability. So we wanted to examine typical college females and typical college environments. So we limited our analysis to undergraduates that are between the ages of 18 and 23 and not attending post-secondary minority institutions, historically black colleges or universities, high Hispanic enrollment colleges, or Hispanic serving institutions. And the reason why is we didn't want to eliminate specific populations. However, we wanted to maintain the typical college environments, and so inclusion of these other institutions may have been a less representative population to what we were looking for. But still, we had had a very large sample size of 12,914 college females that we could analyze. Specifically looking at the body image and weight loss variables that of interest, we had perceived body image categories, where we broke this down into three different categories, being people who perceive themselves as either underweights, about the right weights, or overweights. And then we also broke down weight goal categories into people that were trying to lose weights, trying to stay the same weights, and trying to lose weights. And we also specifically, the NCHA2 examines types of dieting and weight loss behaviors. And we thought this was particularly important because we thought there might be some differences if the types of behaviors that people use to lose weight as far as impacting maybe their smoking status. So what we did was we created a variable that we considered unhealthy dieting, where participants who reported that they either used they vomited or used laxatives in order to lose weights, or took diet pills within the past 30 days as having engaged in unhealthy dieting behaviors. Similarly, any of the participants who reported that they had engaged in either exercise or went on a diet, simply watching what they ate in the past 30 days, we reported that they were engaging in healthy dieting. Of course, it is feasible that people can engage in exercise to extreme levels or watch their weight to the extreme levels at the same time. But comparatively, we were stating that the unhealthy dieters would be significantly different than the more traditional forms of dieting, which is why we categorized them into the unhealthy and healthy dieting behaviors. So using all these different models these variables that particularly look at body image issues, weight loss behaviors, and specific types of dieting behaviors, we created a model to predict cigarette smoking status. Along with demographic variables, we used specifically people who looked at whether people or not endorsed being overweight or self-perceiving as overweight, reported trying to lose weight, or engaging in unhealthy or healthy dieting behaviors in order to predict smoking status. So for the analyses that we conducted, we did basic frequency analyses, chi-squared analyses to inform our regression models to make sure that we were examining the right predictors, and then multiple binary logistic regression analyses to predict ever and current and past 30-day cigarette use. We originally hypothesized that those who reported being overweight, trying to lose weight, and or engaging in unhealthy weight loss behaviors would be more likely to report cigarette use. So as we move into our results, the majority of our population, our sample that we looked at, was under the age of 21. We also had the majority of our population was whites, but we still had representation of other racial groups as well. And for the overall group that we examined, approximately 30% of the participants reported ever cigarette use, and 16.1% of the participants reported current cigarette use. So looking at specifically those variables of interest for our cigarette smoking status, you can see that for ever cigarette use, those participants who reported ever using cigarettes had higher rates of being self-perceiving as overweight, trying to lose weight, engaging in healthy dieting as well as unhealthy dieting compared to those who had not reported cigarette use. Similarly, for current smoking status, you can see that those who reported current smokers had higher rates of self-perceiving as overweight, trying to lose weight, engaging in healthy dieting and unhealthy dieting compared to those who were non-current smokers. So we move into our models predicting cigarette smoking. You can see that this is for ever cigarette use, and we have our significant predictors in the model. But if we focus on those four variables of interest, we can see that those who self-described as overweight, engaged in healthy dieting, as well as unhealthy dieting, had significantly greater odds of reporting ever cigarette use compared to those who did not endorse those variables. In particular, I think it's important to note that looking at the unhealthy dieting variable, where you can see that those who reported either vomiting or using laxatives to lose weight or using diet pills were almost 2.5 times more likely to report ever cigarette use compared to those who had not endorsed those behaviors. The relationships were very similar for current cigarette use, and once again, focusing on those specific variables that we were relating to dieting and weight loss and body image, you can see that those who self-described as overweight, that reported that they were trying to lose weight, and also that engaged in unhealthy dieting behaviors, had significantly greater odds of reporting that they were current cigarette users compared to those who did not endorse those behaviors. Once again, unhealthy dieting represented the highest risk variable for current cigarette use, with 2.27 times more likely to report current cigarette use compared to those who did not engage in unhealthy dieting. So we make our conclusions based on this. In summarizing, we can see that females, in this study, females who perceived themselves as being overweight or were significantly more likely to be ever or current cigarette smokers compared to those who did not perceive themselves as overweight. Females who were trying to lose weight were significantly more likely to be current smokers compared to those who were not trying to lose weight. However, this was not true for ever cigarette use. And females who engaged in unhealthy weight loss behaviors had greater odds of using cigarettes both ever and current use. And this was the strongest predictor in both for cigarette use in both of our models. And in addition, surprisingly to us, healthy dieting behaviors also represented risk for ever cigarette use. So it appears that all types of dieting and weight loss behaviors among college females, regardless of if they're healthy or unhealthy, may be associated with increased risk for cigarette use. While this study was also cross-sectional in nature and not unable to identify causation, the fact that trying to lose weight was only significantly associated with current cigarette use may suggest that cigarette smoking could potentially be perceived as a viable weight loss strategy among college females. And so these findings indicate that self-body image and weight loss behaviors and cigarette use are linked in this national sample of college females. College health officials who are working to prevent cigarette use among females and should consider weight loss behaviors and body dissatisfaction as risk factors when determining those at risk for cigarette use and creating interventions to prevent for smoking cessation as well as smoking prevention. And that's all I have for you today, so thank you. Any questions?
Do we have questions? Please.
Did you examine the whether people were, the girls were smokers prior to or after coming into college?
We weren't able to do that. The way that the NCHA2 examines substance use and for many of their substance use is they essentially you can assess if they've either used in the past 30 days, in the past year, or if they've ever used, essentially. But they don't ask any information about previous use. So no, we weren't able to identify that.
Other questions? Please.
I understand why you try to minimize the overrepresentation of African Americans and Hispanics. Can you tell me a little bit more about how that might have affected your data? Because race and ethnicity were significantly related
Correct.
To your outcome, and I wanted to know if you looked at any interactions or if you controlled for race and ethnicity.
So race and ethnicity was controlled for in the models, and the models that I presented were just the significant predictors. If you'll notice that, so white versus non-white, and then Hispanic versus non-Hispanic were significant predictors. They were very small, because we're very overpowered in this study. They're highly significant predictors, even at small effect sizes. So I believe that's they were significant with effect odds ratios of 1.07. And similar with age as well. The reason why we wanted to limit it the way that we did was to make sure that we didn't have any qualitatively different groups. And this was only limiting, I believe, one or two institutions of the 40 that were included. So we wanted to make sure that we kept the diversity of the college population, however, not changing it to a qualitatively different group. In order to make sure that if there is an impact, because previous research has shown that oftentimes minority populations have lower rates of cigarette smoking among this age group, and so we didn't want that to kind of be the main story here, specifically looking at the dieting and weight loss behaviors. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Other questions? All right, well, thank you very much, Eric.
Thank you.